Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we celebrate courage, determination, and the power of saying, why not today? I am your host, Leslie Kane. Each episode, we dive into inspiring stories of individuals who have taken bold steps, faced their fears, and embraced the possibility of today. From entrepreneurs to artists, dreamers, and doers, we explore the moments when they said, enough waiting, why not today? Join me as we uncover the heartwarming, the audacious, and the transformative. Whether it's pursuing a lifelong passion, overcoming obstacles, or simply choosing joy, our guests share their journeys and inspire us all. I started this podcast in honor of my father, Patrick Kane, who often did say, why not today? Remember, you're just one decision away from changing your life. And I'm excited for my guest today, which I met several months ago, Madeline Dunsmore. And I don't know the exact title, but she's a change coach, which was kind of cool. And I always talk about where I met people and where I connected. So I've been out networking a little bit more, and there was an event and it was about commercial real estate and office space and stuff. I'm like, didn't really interest me. I don't have a commercial real estate space, but I went and was intrigued and listened and got so much information from you, Madeline. And then we met for coffee several months ago, had lots of inspiring conversation. And as I mentioned earlier, it's like, you've been on my mind and just been thinking about you. And I'm excited to have you on here as a change coach. We're going to talk about a bunch of the different things. And so Madeline, introduce yourself, a little bio of you, and then a fun fact, and then we'll get into your courage stories and all about courage.
Okay. Fun. Madeline Dunsmore. I think my official title is Executive Managing Director. I'm at Newmark, which is a commercial real estate firm. And then I lead our change management practice, and then I co-lead our workplace strategy group. So we're a group of consultants inside a large commercial real estate firm that help clients who are looking to think about their office space or their workplace of the future and what that can be to help them envision what it is, how much space it is, and then how they're going to operate and how we match the behavior of people, employees, managers, and leaders to what the physical environment can be, and then continue to kind of match the behavior for the environment. And it's a continuous cycle of just kind of modifying things as work changes, as our relationships and connections to each other's change, as how we manage people changes. The physical environment often has to kind of keep up. And that's kind of where our group comes in. And that's where we
start. And I love that it's more about, you know, the mental side of it is what we met.
It's behavior.
Before we get into all those subjects, tell us a little about who Madeline is, not your professional title.
That's my professional title and bio. I've done that for about 7 years. I often get the, how did you get to this? And it's a very interesting kind of unusual journey, I guess, to that. I was a theater major in college because I went to an arts high school and was a theater major in high school. And so I have this kind of performance and theater background. And then I got out into the real world. I got a couple jobs in the theater and arts industry, and I kind of came to the realization that that's not really what I wanted. After like thinking that like, oh, this is my dream and this is what I was going to do, things kind of evolved for me. And so I made some different choices. I pivoted, I went to business school, and then I got into consulting. And so I was at Booz Allen Hamilton for a few years and was lucky and fortunate enough to serve on a workplace project with a federal agency as my client, and then kind of liaise that into workplace strategy that I now do for commercial clients.
Yeah, it's interesting, the path. What's a fun fact about Madeline?
It's a fun fact. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
Not everybody guesses that from when they meet me, but I did grow up there. And I have two small kids.
Okay. And yeah, that's a good fact of you had your son?
Yeah.
On March 20th, 2020, which.
Yeah, that
is it
was
March 20th?
March 15th.
March 15th. Okay.
So it's coming up in 10 days. He's going to be 4.
Wow.
So he's got a lot of attitude and is
Oh,
a full-on four-year-old, but he is, I like to say, he's one pandemic old.
aw.
So
Forever be
forever
classified
be,
then.
he's ever forever the my pandemic baby. And it was a wild time. We went into the hospital, right? You know how that was its own little drama.
Right.
And getting there and everything, and the rules were changing by kind of minute by minute, like who could be in the room and what was going on. And then everything was fine, uncomplicated, thank goodness. And then when we left the hospital, we have a newborn, and the world is very different. There's
Yeah.
no cars on the road, there's like nobody anywhere. It's very weird. So it's just weird to like go through such a major transition in your life that happens so quickly, at the same time that the world seems to completely turn
Major.
upside down, right? Because whenever that's what happens, you have a baby and it feels like the world's turning upside down, but this
The
was
world
like,
did turn upside. Well,
it did
hopefully
turn
these
upside
podcast
down.
episodes will be out there for a long time. And someday, years from now, someone will listen to that, like, really? I wonder what that was like.
Ooh,
Pandemic. And hopefully we won't have it
yeah, the not to
happen.
repeat,
Yeah, we
because
don't need that.
we don't need that, because my daughter was three and she didn't have daycare. So like whatever I had planned for maternity leave was now
Yeah,
a different thing.
definitely. That could be a whole conversation. But so what does courage mean to you, Madeline?
Courage. I think you can't have courage without fear. So I think if you take about the things that make you afraid, and courage is when you do those things anyway. Even when you're afraid to do something, and if you're hesitant and you're resistant because you're scared, you don't want to do it. Courage is when you're just like, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
And I think that's really what it's about, And for some people, I think that's like jumping out of a plane or, battling tigers or whatever it is. There's lots of like scary things out there. But I think for most folks, the scary stuff is the daily stuff. It's choosing to keep going. Having hard conversations is a lot, it's, I think it takes a lot of courage
Yeah.
to talk about something that you feel looks awkward or that might be bad news or somebody might not take it the right way. And that's, I think, where we can find courage in our daily lives. And it's hard. And it's hard to be courageous every day.
Yeah. And that's one of the things we talk about on this podcast a lot is, why not today? People are like, oh, I did this courageous thing or this happened. But I think it's more, yeah, the daily stuff. It's
The
the getting
daily
out
stuff.
of the bed. It's being
Yeah.
courageous enough to say, I put me first and I'm going to exercise. Or I put me first and I'm going to go out with my husband on a date. And, or I, you know what? I'm going to go to work again today. Or I'm gonna get out of my house and be near somebody and not just
Yeah.
isolated in my house. So many
Yeah.
things.
All those things. I think it's like the courage to like say, I'm not at my best today, or I don't feel quite right. And what am I going to do about it? Right.
Right.
And then like trying to take some action there, or even just being, self-compassionate. To have self-compassion, I think, is a really hard thing to do too.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're on a fitness program or exercise or health, and then you go off the wagon or and you
Oh,
eat
yeah.
the cookie and to have compassion, like, okay, it's not the end of
Okay.
the world.
It's
Or my
okay.
jeans are too tight today, and you know what? We can fix it tomorrow or we can work on it. It's
Exactly.
not the end of the world.
And just because you don't follow your plan exactly how you had it written out, or you miss a couple days of working out, that's not a reason to stop or to quit, right? It's like, it's okay. You're human. We'll try again. And like
Yep.
that trying again, I think, is where, you have to. That's where you can find a lot of strength and resilience there, because it's hard to keep going.
I love that. Courage and trying again. Always a new day and or a new hour or I've always heard the thing you can start a diet in the middle of a potato chip bag.
100%, right? Like there's always tomorrow, but there's nothing like today, right? Like you can always say, oh, that'll be tomorrow. And it's like, well, try now. Like,
It
what can you do?
doesn't
Small.
have to be perfect. And I think that's part of this podcast too. I haven't edited one version because you know what? They're just as they are and they're not perfect. But I
Yeah.
think not being perfect gives people permission that, you know what? They can try the thing or do the thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think, what's the phrase? Don't let perfect be the enemy of the good, right? Like there's a good enough way to do everything. And I've really been thinking about good enough and what that can mean and applying it to lots of different scenarios, right? Like there's a whole book about good enough parenting. There's one about good enough job. There's good enough lots of things, and we in our lives have to be lots of things to lots of different people all the time. And there is a real desire to be perfect at them or to be the best we can possibly be or achieve, to live your best life, blah, blah, blah. But like, well, what if it was just good enough? And that does give you permission to be like, oh, all right, if I'm not perfect, I can just do it, and maybe that's going to be good enough.
And then tomorrow you could maybe get a little better.
Yeah, exactly.
Every
And
day,
it,
add to it.
yeah, and it's that process, right, of getting somewhere. And yeah, you're not going to be there for the first day, even making the decision to change something major in your life. It's like it's a series of tiny steps. Like, great, you made a decision, but getting there is, it's a one step at a time process, and it's not always, you don't always move forward,
No,
right?
and it's not always the path you think it's going to be. And sometimes you take that
No.
step and it takes you here, and then you take the step and it takes you here, and then you take the step and it goes backwards, but still taking those steps.
Yeah, what's important is that you take a step, right? And you continue to take the next one.
Absolutely. And so I love what you do. And I mean, you're in the commercial real estate world, but there's so much more, and it's you're in people's heads. And we were just sharing beforehand. I heard a mover talk this week about a moving company that's in the commercial world and about all the parts of moving a commercial space. And honestly, I almost quit a job over that. It was like, I remember leaving in tears and being yelled at. And there's so many pieces. And to moving anything part of our life, there's lots of pieces that we have to be open to. And it's not, as just said, not going to be perfect. And so the whole discussion of offices and after COVID and where's how are people going into the office or not going in the office, and how do you get the perfect space? And so what are the some of the things that you coach people on or share around the courage and the change? I know I
Oh
just threw a
boy.
lot of things at you.
No, that's yeah, it I mean it is a lot. I think after like death, divorce, and children, like moving is like the fourth stressful thing that you can do in your life. Like if you've ever moved personally, you know how stressful it's gonna be. And it's the same when you relocate offices, in your workspace, especially if it's a space that you feel particularly emotionally invested and connected to. And most people do, right? If you're regularly going into an office or you did previously, you have ties to that space because, we're animals and we have a sense of like, what brings me safety is my own space, right? Like my own literally territory. And so you like have like, I know this is mine and I can control it in this way. Which is also why people get very attached to things like needing their own office or needing their own space. Right. And so the biggest change we're seeing kind of post-COVID, and it was trending this way pre-COVID, if I'm quite honest, is this idea of hybrid work, right? That you're working in more than one location as a knowledge worker, you're taking your work wherever you go. So your work is where you are, not necessarily where you go, like an office. And so the next little logic connection that breaks there is that, well, you no longer have an assigned or dedicated space at the office, right? So we're going to depersonalize the office. We're not putting names on doors or on workstations anymore. And you pick a space when you come in. Either you're using some sort of technology to do that, or it's first come serve, first serve, like at a coffee shop or something like that. Why this is happening is because if you're not coming in, well, if you're coming in less than 50% of the time, and that's the entire employee workforce, it doesn't make sense to have 100 square feet, 150 square feet, 200 square feet, even 50 square feet per person because they're not using it. And so what makes more sense is to share that space amongst all the people. And this is like the foundation for the strategy of how you reduce your square footage. But also by having so much square footage per person, when you go in and there's only like four other people in the office, it feels dead. It's like a weird ghost towny feel that's like not great.
Yeah,
Right?
I mean,
You
in an
ever do a,
office,
yeah, it's like
I
too
mean,
quiet.
I haven't worked in an office. I quit my job 25 years ago, 24 years ago. So it's been a long time. And since I've had to like find other places to work, to be around
Yeah.
people. And I know they have co-working spaces,
Yeah.
but I was talking to somebody that was going to a co-working space. He's like, literally, I'd go in and I'd go in an office and close the door and, maybe I'd see somebody, but not
Yep.
necessarily. And I think, work, the whole work world has so changed over the years. Where I
Yeah.
mean, that was my source of friends and connections and
Yeah.
relationships and the people you went out to lunch with and the people,
Yeah.
you did things. And every once in a while, I go into an office where there's people and I'm like, I kind of want a job again because I miss that community that it was able to
Yeah.
build. And
Yeah.
I think we're missing that now of a community in an office.
I
And
think you're right.
how do we get that back? And how do we?
I recently did a little a piece for the brokers in my company about tying like the loneliness epidemic, which we've heard a lot about, and how working from home and especially all of that's really contributed to that. Because where as an adult, you're going to interact with the most people is at work. And we're definitely not seeing people like, that getting any better. So what do we do, and how can work in the office kind of be the antidote to loneliness? How can it create connection? And we can't do it the same way we did. We have to be more intentional, and we have, it's really about purposeful gatherings.
I like that.
And how do we create purposeful gatherings? And does the office as a construct be the right solution for that, right? Because it kind of assumes everyone's going to be there all the time, but that's not our reality, and it's not going to be our reality. Like, I don't weigh in on the return to office wars, but the past is not the future, is all I'm going to say there. And so, but we do want these connections. So I envision this, like, what if we take all the money we were spending on office and all of that, and we really focus on purposeful connections and purposeful gatherings? What would that look like? And I think it would look a lot more fun, because if we're bringing people together for really meaningful interactions where they're connecting and they're not distracted, right? We've created space for them to be focused on each other to create those connections. They're really collaborating, they're really working together, they're building social bonds, right? And so it might not all be work focused either. There might be some fun to it, God forbid, right? Let work be a little fun. That there's a food element, right? There's an activity piece of it, and
You're
the
adding
purpose,
experiences to
you're
it.
adding experience, and it's really about experiencing something together with other people that creates team or trust or whatever that is. And I think that can be accomplished in a lot of other different ways that's not just like an 8-person conference room. And I'm really interested in like exploring what that could be and what those options are. Is it ziplining in Costa Rica? Why not? Right? Like, why can't that be what we do with our colleagues? And then we talk about work and projects and clients at dinner. I don't know. Like, what's important is that I build trust with you. And I know that's difficult to do virtually, but I don't know if the office is also the best solution for how I will build trust with another
Figure out
person.
those experiences. And I know I've been to lots of big conferences, and I always say
Yeah.
it's not the speaker on stage that often gives you the inspiration. It's the person standing in line in the ladies' room or the bathroom, the person you stay with, the person you eat next to, where you get
Yeah.
the ideas and the inspiration. And
Right.
sometimes, just being in a different environment or being around like-minded people. I was just on a call with a friend, and she's like, "You re-inspired me." And I'd love that term. And I think I'm going to use it a lot that, to be around people and the energy, just, you and I, we met for coffee that day. I felt very energized and, ideas were spinning and maybe something, nothing even directly about what we talked about.
Yeah, but it just gives you a little bit of spark, right? A little bit of like, motivation, and you feel like you learned something. You feel like you did something new and novel, which I think often gets lost too in our little like rinse and repeat world. It's real easy to feel like it's every day is the same, right? Sometimes. And the things that break it up are memorable. So I love a good conference too. You know, if they're, and it's other people that you meet. It's not
Yeah,
necessarily the
it's not
speakers
that.
or the contents, but it gives everybody a focus, right? It gives their like,
Right.
we're all here for some reason, and it makes sense because you.
Reason to gather, but then.
Yeah, it's not the same. Like when you talk about you work in other places, like are there places you go and work outside of your home that you prefer? And what are those?
Yeah. And what are the things, if for
And
me,
why?
even like working at like the last few years, my business has been remote, so I could work other places. And I had a friend who I'd go where he lived, and he liked all the blinds closed, and it was dark and not very motivated. I would leave, and I'm like, I'm gonna go to the place that has light, sit by water. And can have different thoughts, and water fills me up. Other people, I have a friend that has a mountain house, and that's where she goes to escape. And I even think, like, when we met at that Capital One building, just the hotel rooms in there, I thought about, I might just
Gorgeous.
go spend get a weekend and just or change, it's changing location. Helps the juices flow.
I think so, because it takes you out of your patterns and routines because you're in a different place. I mean, for some people, it's like scary. It takes some courage, maybe, to be in a
Right.
different location, but
Yep.
that can be so good for you because
Yeah.
you just get a different point of view in a way that you don't even realize that you were stuck before, right? Just by changing where you are, I think really can mix things up and help you break the rules, right? If you always have a meeting or if you always have a conversation in the exact same way in the exact same place, like especially as a manager, right? Like with your direct report, mix it up, right? Have that conversation someplace else outside of the office over coffee or like on a walk, right? Like
Yeah, I know.
walking
I have a
meetings,
friend
all
of
those things.
mine that's a pastor of a church, and he said he has the best conversations walking with people because they won't say the hard thing eyeball to eyeball facing somebody. But if you walk, and this came up earlier, like walk beside somebody, it feels more comforting. Like how, and I think, it sounds like with what you do, just to kind of correlate what you do with helping people with commercial spaces, you're walking beside them and helping them coach. And I think,
That's
and as
right.
a change coach, that's what I would think is you're not saying you have to do this and you have to do this, but working with them to decide, okay, what's best for them.
It's a very collaborative process, right? And it can be frustrating because they'll be like, oh, well, just tell me the best practices. And I'm like, well, they might not fit for you.
Right.
It's a tailored
Exactly.
approach. So, like, I need to understand what you're seeing and what you think will work here, what will resonate with your workforce. Like, what are the typical things that have worked in the past? What are your people struggling with? What are they concerned about? So, that's right. You're with them, supporting them, like coaching them through it, right? You're not just setting a plan and disappearing. You're there hearing things and then modifying as you go, right? Like no plan survives first contact as far as like how these things typically
Yeah.
go. And so you could have like, okay, these are the 10 newsletters we're going to send and this is the training we're going to do. But then like something comes up, right? And then it's like, oh, that's not going to work because we have a new CEO, right? Like, or we're going to completely reorg while we're doing this renovation. I have a client who's doing that. They're going to change all the job roles and they're going to do a complete reorganization at the same time they decided to renovate their headquarters.
Oh, wow.
Luckily, these things are like going to be related, right? And we're going to be sitting the people near each other and it's like all part of a future vision. But, you know, I've also been parts where those parts don't talk to each other and it's like one
Right.
strategy over here and one strategy over here. And it's like, oh, this doesn't make sense. But, so, yeah, I think you're with them. Helping them lead their teams through the change.
Yeah.
And that can be a lot of little pieces. And there's, especially when you move, it's like one change, oh, we're moving. But then you start to unpack it. You're like, well, is everyone going to have the same kind of seat where we're going? Well, no, actually, a lot of people will have unassigned seating. Well, okay. So where are they going to put their stuff? Oh, they're going to have a locker. Do they have that kind of thing today? No. Okay. Well, how big
And
is. And
I
then it
think
goes on and on and on,
and I
right?
think
Like it.
when you're making a change, you're like, okay, this is time to make the change. To when you're making the move, let's make changes in all different areas. And so I could see where it could be hard. And as I said, my move with my office was pretty traumatic,
Oh,
helping. And
yeah.
then one gentleman in particular that,
Oh, yeah.
he didn't want to move, and he want, get your space. And so
Because it's
Yes,
very
much strength.
personal and it's territorial, right? And they feel like the attack on the space is an attack on them personally. And it's not, but you can also understand like why they would feel threatened, right? And it's usually not about the move of the space. It's usually like, I had an army colonel yell at me because he wasn't going to get an office in the new space because none of anybody at his level was. And he yelled at me for a solid half hour about how could he possibly do his job and da 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 and like does this mean he's not wanted here anymore and all of these things. And we talked it out.
They had nothing to do with the move.
It had nothing to do with the move, right? It was all about like, do you not feel secure in your status in this organization? And is that about the move or is that about you? So I don't have these conversations. Like, I'm not going to directly ask that question, but like often that's what it is. Right, like that's really at the root of what's happening because change is hard. And it's really at the end of the day, it's about who you are and like, is it a threat to you or not? Right. So sometimes it just takes people time, right? Like you can wrap their head around it, but don't surprise them. Nobody likes a surprise,
No.
right? Like
Everybody
because
has their
people,
first defensive.
right? Everyone's gonna have a first very emotional reaction and like, well, you don't want to be that like 2 days before the move. Like you want to give people time to process. It's not exactly like the grieving process, but there's similarities, I
It is.
think.
There's
It is.
probably lots of things.
But you have to say goodbye to one space and say hello to something new. And that new is going to be great. Like imagine that how great it's going to be. But that doesn't diminish the fact that you do have to say goodbye.
Yeah, and you don't know what's going to be great, and this has been your great, and how do
Right.
you know if that is going to be a great?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I help people navigate through. And then the tactics you use to do that can be anything, right? It can be emails or meetings or videos or, focus groups or a series of trainings or coaching or, walkthroughs,
All the
tours,
tools.
all the things, right? It can be any gamut of way you can interact with somebody, really. But it's really those key messages of like, when are we telling people? How are we framing it? And how are we bringing them along the journey?
And
And how can they be a part of it, right? It's not
again,
something that's
bring them along and be
happened.
a part of it.
Bring them along. You don't want people to feel like they're victims. And that so often happens in a move. You're like, oh, you're doing this to me. You're attacking me. And it's like, what if, 6 months ago I started and I say, I want you to be a part of this process. You're a key piece of what our new future looks like. Come with me. And all of a sudden, that's like a whole new
Only,
conversation.
So one thing I've discovered with these interviewing people with podcasts, and I really feel like the reason I'm doing it is I get so much insight and information, and it's coaching for me. But I found that people, there's often stories behind the story. So what's a cool, I think the one you just shared may be it, but what's a cool story behind the story of something you've been able to unfold or see on a positive note with a move or something, how it unfolded? Do you have any of those? Like that one story, that one, and we have those pivotal moments in our life and things that you remember where you're standing, who you're with, what you're wearing. Do you have any of those, like, and it couldn't be even be in a prior world of something else you did that.
I mean, I've been so fortunate to work on, so many really key projects. The federal agency one stands out with the Army colonel. That was a very formative one. That was really like my first one. So I got to do that, including, the goal was this is a large law enforcement agency. And the goal is to eventually roll out this standard like across the agency. We started in the Office of Administration, right? Like finance and facilities, and then we're going to roll it out to other parts of administration, right? HR, IT, and maybe even some of the frontline people too. The law enforcement agents. And so I had to tell the leadership, like, hey, here's our strategy, here's our plan. I was designated the one to be like, this is what the new policy will be. Here's who will get an office. Here's who will get an assigned seat. Here's who won't. Here's how we're going to save money so we can put it back to the agency. But it was a bit of a controversial message, like, hey, these people might not get offices. And doing that to a room where like half of them are armed, like half of them are
Little
wearing
scary.
firearms. I was like, and I often say, like, if I survive that, I can probably tell anybody they're not going to get an office. So that was a good one. I also got to be fortunate enough to work on Walgreens, their corporate headquarters, and consolidating that. They also moved into an unassigned seating model. And I went in because one group was having real big problems. And it was this group who was doing regulatory compliance state by state. Imagine all of the government forms that you have to fill out for a city, a county, and a state if you're
Yeah.
Walgreens as
Wow.
a pharmacy
Yeah, I was
provider.
going to say providing drugs.
Drugs, but also other stuff, right? Sometimes they sell alcohol.
Yeah.
Sometimes they sell, you
Depending on the
know, all
state.
sorts of things. And like each one of those might have a different regulatory body based on
Wow.
like what county you're in. And so, right, like we're doing this nationwide. And so there was a whole group and they just did that, whatever forms and stuff that needed to be filed. And I remember all of the stamps that they needed and all of the paper. And
Right.
no other group worked like this. And they were struggling to work in a paperless, unassigned model because they had all these physical, because they were trying to work in an antiquated way because they had
Right.
to, because that's how the local governments that they were interfacing with worked.
Right.
And I remember going in and like taking pictures and just seeing the like, everyone had like a cardboard box near their desk where it's just full of papers and whose stamps were who. And I was like, okay. This model might be working for the rest of the company, but it's not going to work for this
Yeah.
poor small group. We need to give them their own space, the dedicated space, and some sort of storage for all of these
Dance.
paper stamps.
Wow.
It was wild. So this is another like, hey, you might have a big street sweeping like strategy for everybody, but there's always
It
exceptions to the
sounds like
rule.
you really have to understand the behind the scenes of what's going on.
Yeah, just go in and like, yeah, sometimes you really just have to observe the behavior. And
Yeah.
once you see it, you're in. I just took pictures that I only remember because it came up recently on my phone. It's like pictures. And
Like,
I was
why
like,
do I have these pictures?
why would, yeah, my phone is half kids and then half office interiors. And so sometimes it's like, what random office was that? But that one came up and I'm like, oh yeah,
Pretty cool.
that was a cool one. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm sure we could go through lots of stories. So, how would you encourage somebody else to be courageous, get out of their comfort zone, or, as we talked about
Yeah.
their daily life?
I think it's the small stuff. You know, I think it's the one step at a time. It's like what is the one small thing you can do, right? And just do that. And then see where it goes. And I think it's the continuing to be curious about something and not judgmental.
Love that.
So, once you try something, right? Like what how did it go? How can you be curious about it? Like and you don't have to be like bad or good or that was, you know, the value judgment I think we place on things that we experiment with often hold us back in a very unhelpful way. But I think if you just kind of ask questions and put your little science hat on, a little bit of like, how did that experiment go?
Right.
And what would I do differently? And I'm
Yeah.
going to keep experimenting. You know, because I think even the idea of being courageous, you can be like, I mean, when you asked me for this, you asked me the courageous, I'm like, I'm not courageous. Like that was my first thought internally, was like, I don't have courage. How am I a courageous person? Like, why would Leslie
I get
choose
that
me?
often.
You know, like I'm not courageous. And that's funny to think about too, right? It's like, is why is that not part of my identity? Like, yes, I am. And so I don't know. I think that's part of it too. And the one
Yeah.
step at a time piece how
Yeah.
to
And
do it.
being, I think it's being open. Like you went
Yeah.
from theater world to an office space, change coach. Like, and nobody has a
Yep.
great path, but it's being open to like, oh.
Yeah.
Curious, like, wonder what that would look like. And we
Yeah.
often don't think of that courage thing. I interviewed my mom last week for the anniversary episode, and she's like, "What? Everybody else has so many courageous stories." She was kind of a little hesitant, and I could come up with all kinds of things she did that was courage that I saw as total courage. And she's like, "Huh?" And then she thought of other ones. And my sister listened to it. She goes, "I learned some new things about mom." And she goes, and I think, most people don't think they've done anything courageous. But when you dig down, I was at a meeting the other day and I was kind of talking about the premise of the podcast. And one woman said, well, I had open heart surgery or a heart transplant. And somebody else is like, well, I had a stroke. And yeah, those are courageous, but the normal person isn't going to go through that. And I'm really
Yeah.
hoping this podcast gives people hope. And encourages them for the daily things, for
Yeah.
to make the daily decisions and live our life without regret, but live it and enjoy it and come beside each other and cheer each other on. And I like what you said, continue to be curious and not judgmental. And I try to do,
Yeah.
people do something, I'm like, wonder why their brain told them that.
Wonder why that is, right? Even when things go wrong, what happened there? And like the journey from theater to what I'm doing now, like I mean, that's what I thought I wanted to be my whole life, right? Up to like 24, 25, like, oh, this is what I studied.
My
I went to
whole life.
college for this my whole life. Oh, that's cute. Cute. And then like I saw it and I was like, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be or what I was encouraged. And I tell my, I when I tell this, it's like I had to break up with my dream, right? I thought I was, this
I
was
like
going
that.
to be my dream, and I had to break up with it. And like, oh, you're not working for me anymore.
Yeah.
And I need to move on, life dream. And that was tough. But you just pick it apart. You're like, well, what did I like about this, or what did I think I like about it, right?
And
And I
then
like,
you all you're
and then you
taking
move.
stuff from that
Oh yeah.
and
Oh
using
yeah.
it. And I think, somebody said, you fail forward to success. And if you have something, you fall down, pick up the lesson and keep going and use what you've done. My background's finance
Right.
and how I got through this little course of life to podcast. It's like,
Right.
it's crazy, but
And
you just never know. Be
you
open.
never know. And you like you go out there, you plant your seeds, and you see what comes up, right? And that's like you just kind of stay curious about what comes out of the ground, because you never know. You never know which ones are gonna sprout. And they're not all gonna sprout.
And trust. Yep,
Yep,
absolutely.
but some of them will. Some of them will. So I feel fortunate that I really like who I work with. I have a good team. It's really interesting, right? I'm not gonna, every day is different and it's
Yep,
interesting.
that's a good
It's
thing.
not always easy, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I still get to use a lot of like what I think I'm good at every day, and that's very rewarding.
That's awesome. Well, I always try to tie this back, and I don't always remember, but to my dad. And people are like, I never met your dad. But the things that I would tie back in our conversation is one, he was a planner. And so he, worked in that world of planning all kinds of different things and not just a city or something, but he did teach classes at a middle school on, he called it Boomtown. He'd give kids boxes and like, okay, let's create your world. And I think you're doing that with office space, what's best. But the other thing, relating back to your story about the Army, I think you said Colonel, my dad always, he worked in the military housing world for a while. And he'd always say he could tell the rank of the person he was meeting with what kind of coffee cup he got. So if it was a paper plastic cup or it was China or anything between, he could tell their rank. And he always joked about that.
That's funny. That's very telling.
Yep, exactly. So,
I
well, thank you, Madeline. We could have talked forever, and
know.
it's a good stuff. So, thank you, everybody else, for joining us on this inspiring journey. Remember, every day is an opportunity to take action, chase your dreams, and make a difference. So, why not today? You can subscribe, share, keep pushing forward. We do have, you can find us on the whynottodaypodcast.com website. We also have a Why Not Today community on Facebook now. And stay motivated and keep making things happen. And remember, say, why not today? Thanks again, Madeline.
Yeah, thank you so much, Leslie. It's a pleasure.